Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in, Friday edition of the Hoosier Report underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. Don't forget tonight, I'll be back for 5+ hours of local high school football coverage. Week 9 on the Indiana side means it's the final week of the regular season. We've got that tonight, New Albany, Floyd Central, one of our feature games. That's where we'll start once we get through with the kickoff show tonight. At kickoff, 7 o'clock at that game. We've got access to Linton-Stockton at Providence, a tough game, a challenge game for the Pioneers as they close the season as well. I'll be in studio with updates and to anchor the coverage all night long. It'll be a lot of fun. Then we'll get into postseason football on the Indiana side of things. So a lot of fun tonight. If you're at a game, not at a game, make sure you have arrangements on your smartphone to stream us, and you can keep up with everything going on across the area with high school football. It's Kentuckiana Football Fridays on the Big X Sports Radio. Also, IU football with a big game this weekend. It's a big game. This win, if Indiana can find a way to get a win against a competitive, maybe fairly even match Iowa team, the more you read into some of the matchups and to some of the predictions on this game, it could give Indiana a chance not only to become bowl eligible. We think that'll happen regardless what happens this weekend, unless Indiana makes some big blunders in future weeks against Big Ten teams. But this weekend, it can help Indiana maybe make a step or two forward as far as its win total, which we haven't seen that. We've seen some bowl game appearances. We've seen the 6 wins, the minimum that it typically takes to get into a bowl. But getting to that 7th win, or if they could pull an upset off, getting to that 8th win, all has to do with this weekend and Indiana getting this win at Bloomington for homecoming. So I think it's going to be a really competitive game. Again, the more I hear, we had Matt Weaver yesterday, the more I hear, the more I read about this and look at some of the matchups. Not really that familiar with Iowa other than I've watched their scores, but reading a little bit more about their personnel and some of the matchups against Indiana, this thing could be a really good game. And I think Indiana's fortunate to give themselves the best chance to win this important game, that it's homecoming, that it's at home, and that it's not at Iowa, because this is a dangerous Iowa team. And I'm not so sure I wouldn't consider Indiana somewhat of a dangerous team as well, given how they played Ohio State and seem to have some momentum coming into this one, even after a loss. So it's going to be fun on Saturday to take that one in, and just a good sports weekend coming up. The weather is cooler. High school football tonight. I know it won't be as comfortable maybe sitting outside for long periods of time in your shorts and summer gear, but it's more like football weather, and it lets us know as well when you get this fall weather in the air that basketball season is just around the corner and will be here very soon. So a good weekend for sports. We'll get you all set for everything today here on the Hoosier Report, and then I'll be back with you tonight for high school football. Let's take a look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Headline 1, we've got our Hoosier headlines, the news of the day, a couple headlines. We're going to go through the Week 9 schedule in high school football one more time. A couple Big Ten Media Day headlines as well to chat about. Also, in this first segment, we are going to play Archie Miller's general statement from general press conference, I should say, from yesterday in Illinois. He had a 10-minute period. I think about 7 or so minutes of comments and questions he answered. He did have a breakout session later in the day where he met with kind of a group of reporters, different coaches available at different times to maybe get a little bit more intimate with them and a little bit more closer in your conversation. But we will play the main press conference that was on Big Ten Network yesterday as well. So we'll have that in the first segment. Segment two, it's Jared Morris of the Assembly Call to talk more IU basketball. Segment three is Kyle Neddenrip from the Indianapolis Star. So we'll cover a lot of ground today on this Friday show. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at a couple Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoosier Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Headline number one is a quick preview of everything going on tonight. New Albany at Floyd Central is the big rival game. New Albany is 5-3 on the season. They are 3-2 in the Hoosier Hills Conference. Floyd Central is 4-4 on the season. New Albany is ranked. Floyd Central is not. New Albany is number 11 in Class 5A, according to the Associated Press poll. The series, Floyd Central leads the all-time series against New Albany in football. The Highlanders have won the game 26 times. The Bulldogs have won the contest 23 times. Floyd Central has recorded wins in back-to-back weeks last year. They beat New Albany in the regular season game. Then they turned around, drew each other in the first game of sectional play in the 5A sectional and beat New Albany again. So they've won two in a row, including two last season. It's not a series for two rivals in the same school system, obviously. Floyd Central didn't open at the same time New Albany did or Jeffersonville did, so the series doesn't have the history, the longevity, you could say, that the New Albany-Jeff series does. But it's clear, if you've ever witnessed a game between these two schools, especially in basketball and football, and I'll throw baseball in there as well, it's a big deal. It doesn't matter if it's a regular season game, doesn't matter if it's week one, doesn't matter if it's week nine. It's a big high school football game. And we will have coverage for you of that tonight on the Big X Sports Radio. It's going to be where we'll spend a lot of our time. Also tonight, our other feature game, I mentioned this at the top of the show, Providence is hosting Linton Stockton. Linton Stockton is 4-4 on the year. Providence is 6-2 on the year. Providence is number 14 in the Indiana Football Coaches Association poll, not ranked in the Associated Press poll. And I mentioned it was a tough game for Providence to finish out the regular season. I know the Pioneers have aspirations of repeating as 2A sectional champions. If they're going to do that, they're going to have some tough weeks ahead of them, although they are favored, I would say, to at least get to the championship game of their sectional the way the drawing came out. That's where they would meet an undefeated 8-0 Paoli team. At least they're undefeated heading into tonight's game. For Providence, I call this a tough game because Linton Stockton plays a pretty good schedule, and they historically have been a really good football team, a really kind of a farm boy type football team that has been very good, including some runs deep into the state tournament. So even though, and they beat Providence a year ago as well, but even though their record is 4-4, I think they're probably a team that's better, at least with records in this area, than what that record may indicate to us. The teams have met one time last year. Linton Stockton defeated Providence in the final game of the regular season by a close score, 40-34, the final score. Providence would go on to win the 2A sectional a year ago after that loss to Linton Stockton. Jeffersonville, they are on the road tonight at Jennings County. I like Jeff's chances. 1-7 Red Devils against the 2-6 Panthers. Jeffersonville should be able to get a win there. Much more of an athletic team in Jennings County. 0-5 in the conference. Jeffersonville 1-5 in the conference. I would look for Jeff to get an opportunity to pick up its second win of the season tonight. And I was looking at the sectional pairings. You know, it wouldn't be shocking if Jeff defeated Franklin Central. They've got a week off after the closer tonight in regular season, but it wouldn't be a shocker against Franklin Central. Don't get me wrong, Franklin Central's not bad. They're a huge school, but they haven't had the best of seasons either. So maybe the Red Devils can put together a little win streak here at the end of the season and pick up a couple additional wins. Charlestown, they host Eastern Pekin tonight. Charlestown would be the big favorite there. Obviously, one of the fun things with Charlestown games every Friday is to track Marion Lukes and the type of yardage that he rushes for each night. He's had some big weeks. Last week he broke the all-time record. He's just a youngster, too. He's just a sophomore at Charlestown, so he's got plenty of years ahead of him. Also, Silver Creek is at Cordon. The Creekers, the big favorite in that game tonight. Silver Creek is 5-3. Cordon 3-5. Silver Creek coming off a loss to Brownstown in a very important Mid-Southern Conference game last night. Last year, Silver Creek won 57-0, so it lets you know that the Dragons are the big favorite in that game as well. North Harrison hosts Clarksville. Shouldn't be much of a contest there. North Harrison is the big favorite. And Rock Creek is at Kentucky Country Day. They have really had some tough opponents in the final few weeks of their schedule. KCD in Louisville is number 14 in the Associated Press poll for Class A football teams. The teams played a year ago. It was a big, big win for Kentucky Country Day. And I tell you, playing West Washington, which is who Rock Creek played last week, playing Kentucky Country Day this week, they're eligible for a sectional. They'll play in their first sectional here in a few weeks. It really lets Rock Creek get ready for that because they're playing some legitimate competition here on the backside of their schedule. I mentioned that Archie Miller was available yesterday at the Big Ten Conference Media Day. For each coach was scheduled starting at 9 a.m. in the morning for about a 10-minute clip where they gave an opening statement and then reporters could ask questions of each coach. They were also made available later in the day in some breakout sessions. And then Archie and two players, Jawan Morgan and Zach McRoberts, also had a little spot on Big Ten Network yesterday afternoon as well. So a very eventful day. There were some photo shoots for conference stuff. There were some interviews. There was press conferences. There were some meetings. A lot of different things that include are included at Big Ten Media Day. And, of course, Jawan Morgan, I thought, as we've been talking about, great leadership, great representation, great speaker, well-spoken, handling a lot of different questions and things from the media yesterday. They also, on the Big Ten Network, played a couple Romeo Langford High School highlights. One of them was from that last regular season game. Maybe it was a couple years ago. I don't think it was his senior year where he had a breakaway dunk and really made a juke move around one of the Bloomington North players. But anyhow, some of those highlights played as Coach Miller talked about Langford's addition to the team. Nothing really new learned. I wish I could tell you that he had something earth-shattering to say, but Archie plays it pretty cool, and not a ton new to say as far as about the team. He still talks about a team approach. He still talks about it's a team that has a lot to learn, that will be better hopefully later in the season than what they are at the beginning. And we're going to let you hear this opening statement and some of the questions. It's about a 7-minute clip from Archie Miller. This is from Big Ten Conference Media Day on Thursday.
It's good to be here, kicking off Big Ten Media Day here in Chicago. And we're excited about the start to our season. And we have a long way to go, obviously, to become, you know, a competitive, you know, Big Ten team right now. And we got a lot of growing up to do, but you know, our returners have done a really nice job of really accepting responsibility as they've gone through our system here a year. And you can really see some growth just in terms of how much further along we are than we were a year ago, just being more comfortable with one another. So that's a little bit refreshing, but we're excited and we've had a good start to the season in terms of practices. And my hope is as we keep developing, you know, we have a team that, you know, has a chance to have some real depth and has a chance to have, you know, there's some real upside as we get older.
Thanks, Coach. We'll open the floor for questions.
First row. Hi, Coach. Paul M. Banks, thesportsbank.net. So much hype for Romeo coming in. Just from day one, what kind of an impact do you think he could make? And just why do you think there is so much hype about it? I mean, does he really have everything you could expect?
Well, you know, Romeo's, well, number one, he's a terrific kid. That's the one thing that you're getting a chance to really see why he's so well, you know, regarded in terms of a teammate and a guy. And he's doing everything that we've asked him to do. There's a lot of hype around him, obviously being from the state, going to IU. I think that's going to make it a bigger story than anything. But, you know, he's always had a lot of eyes on him. He's always been a very calm type of a guy under pressure. I think he's shown that. I think the thing that's been really enjoyable so far about Romeo is he's just like one of the other guys. He's embraced his teammates. We're coaching hard. He's being coached. He's asking questions. He knows he's not perfect. And like a lot of guys, he's a typical freshman here early in his career where he's just trying to find his way and learn it. And I think the thing with him is just having the ability to allow him to say, that's okay, I can make some mistakes, take the pressure off him, that he doesn't have to be perfect. But tremendous upside, great talent, great kid. I think as long as he stays with it every single day, like every, you know, young player, he's going to get better and better.
Fifth row on our right.
Good morning, Coach. Jeff Rabbit, Hounspeaks.com. On Zach McRoberts, he earned captaincy as a walk-on. And obviously, that's very rare. What did he do to earn that? And sort of, can you describe a little bit things he does to show leadership in practice, off the court, and things like that?
It's very few guys that you will have that you have the ability to coach or play with that you know gives everything he has. You know what I mean? And I really mean that. Like, you know, when he's done with a workout, a practice, or a game, there isn't anybody in the locker room, regardless of a trainer, doctor, strength coach, assistant coach, player, that looks at him and says, that guy did everything he possibly could today for us. And, you know, when you're like that, there's a respect level that comes with it. You know, I think there's an admirate, he's admired for what he does. And, you know, the guy never complains. And I think just in the off season and talking to him, watching him work, he wants to get better. But he's definitely one of the most, if not the most trusted guy that when you're out there on the floor, I think everyone knows what you're going to get. And he's going to have, you know, the team in mind all the time. So it didn't surprise me at all that he was voted by the players as one of the captains.
Hey, Coach. Hey. Terry Hutchins, CNHI. When you have this many new faces trying to integrate all those guys and get that chemistry, just how difficult is that task?
It's difficult. I mean, we have five true freshmen, one transfer, six, and Race Thompson would mean seven, basically. He was in practice a year ago, but obviously didn't play on the team as his redshirt year. So you really have like seven new guys you're trying to fit in. And that's where, in my opinion, the returners, you hope your returners from a year ago are further ahead than all those guys. So you at least have that core group that you're really trying to add to. The young guys are freshmen. We have five guys out there, and you can tell when we practice who's a freshman, you know, at times. And I think, you know, that's without saying, our staff's objective is to develop our team. And as we develop our team, you know, we want to add pieces to the puzzle that, you know, can help our rotation, can help us be, you know, deeper and, you know, bigger on the perimeter at times. But and also working Duron back. You know, Duron isn't full go yet, but he's starting to make his way back to the practice floor. And, you know, he didn't play in any, you know, basically the entire Big Ten season. So, you know, to bring him back is challenging, so to speak, just to kind of hopefully we can, you know, move him back into the rotation. But we have a lot of different conversations going on all the time, pre and post practice. And I think the one thing is we've really set the bar high for our guys just in terms of competition. They're going to have to earn it every day. And I think they understand that they're going against somebody that wants the same amount of minutes as them. So, you know, a lot of it will depend on their development, how fast they can catch up to speed, so to speak. And, you know, I do feel good about some of the guys from a year ago just being way more comfortable and ahead of those guys right now. That's, you know, it's comforting to know there's some guys that look the part. And then adding the other guys to it, it's going to take time.
And, again, that's Archie Miller with his opening press conference yesterday. There were some other media availabilities for him. You may see some quotes and find some audio out there from later in the day, including an appearance on Big Ten Network and a breakout session that I know Peegs and Inside the Hall both have audio, a video clip up as well from that. But those are some of Archie's answers to general questions. Nothing really earth-shattering, nothing really new there. One note that I saw someone tweet, you know, this is the first year at Indiana that you'd have to go back beyond Tom Crean. I don't remember. One of you may remember, but that Indiana has announced captains. And, of course, you just heard Archie Miller being asked about Zach McRoberts being a captain as a walk-on. And what a unique situation that is. But I also saw someone tweet yesterday, Arizona coach Sean Miller was on their media day on the Pac-12 television network and said that he named captains for the first time in his time at Arizona. And got to wondering, wonder if these guys, they have to communicate, but just interesting that both must feel comfortable with leadership, even though it's not a style apparently that the Miller family has went with very often to officially name captains. When you've got Juwan Morgan, you've got Zach McRoberts, I have no idea who Sean Miller has appointed or has been elected as Arizona's captain, but obviously you want to get him in that role, and you probably want it to be known publicly to reinforce that with those players. But I did find it interesting that Arizona appointed captains or had captains for the first time this year, at least that Sean Miller's been there in the same year that Indiana does as well. So interesting. It'll be curious to see as well if that continues in future seasons. Not that it's end-all, be-all to have announced captains to the public, but I think you know when Archie Miller says something that there's some real truth behind it. And I think, you know, when he does name captains moving forward, that you've got great leaders, and there's no question that this year Indiana has great leadership. That's one area, and there's not a ton of areas where there's grave concerns, but that's one area where there's zero concern, at least when I think about this team, is leadership on and off the court with Zach McRoberts and Juwan Morgan, the perfect duo from that. For this team this upcoming season. That's the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday night. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. And, of course, you know that Phil and the gang will have the IU-Iowa game on, if you want to watch that at Hoopsters, with some great food and a great environment with other IU fans on Saturday as well. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing, on this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Friday program. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call joins me, presented each Friday by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Jared, in the first segment, we played some clips from what Archie Miller had to say yesterday at Big Ten Conference Media Day in Chicago. You guys talked a lot about it last night on the Assembly Call radio show. I'm curious, not a lot of earth-shattering new news or new updates on the team, but what were your biggest takeaways from what he had to say yesterday?
Yeah, you know, I don't think you really listen to Big Ten Media Day quotes necessarily for, you know, the earth-shattering news or the breaking news. You know, really, you look for those small nuggets of insight, you know, that kind of slip out when the guys are talking. And I thought the biggest thing to me was what Juwan said, what Archie said, and what Zach said about the point guard battle, because that is the biggest question mark for this team. I mean, this is a team that has a lot of firepower, a lot of talent. It just needs that point guard to kind of bring it all together, and we've all known that. And so you heard Juwan talk about how the practice battles between Devontae Green and Robert Phinisee have been really intense. And then, you know, Archie made a point of bringing Al Durham into that and saying that, you know, he's kind of right in that mix too. And Archie talked about, specific to Rob Phinisee, how he's really ahead of the game in terms of his defense and how that's something a lot of times that keeps young guys off the court and could be something that gets him on the court. And so I think, you know, there's a lot there to take in. And what I kind of take from it is that, yes, those guys all are question marks, you know, and we're going to have to see who ends up emerging, and maybe it's a committee, we'll see. But I think the fact that they're all there and all being competitive and, you know, just kind of, you know, making each other better in practice is really going to help consistency come from that position, because no one can just rest on their laurels they know that they're going to have to go out and earn every minute that they get. And they all kind of bring something special to the table. So I was really encouraged to hear that, because I think that kind of internal competition, you know, it may not make that position necessarily a great strength for this team, but that position just needs to be good. It just needs to be consistent and competent and let the rest of the guys shine. And if it can do that, now you're looking at an Indiana team that can compete for a Big Ten title, you know, and be a top 15, top, you know, potentially top 10 type team if they get that kind of play out of the point guard.
You mentioned the, you know, competing for a Big Ten title. We've talked about yours and others' thoughts on where Indiana could fall, could end up in the Big Ten according to what you see. I will say it was nice heading into Big Ten Media Day to see Indiana in a really good spot, and I think that third spot for Indiana is very, very fair with the talent that Indiana has and with the leadership that Indiana has. I was disappointed in some of those preseason magazines. They're so fun to get, and they're so fun to read. It helps you remember some names and learn about newcomers from other conference teams and just college basketball as a whole. But I felt Indiana kind of got shafted, if you want to call it that, for a preseason magazine with predictions of 6th and maybe even one had them as 7th, if I remember correctly. So I thought that third spot is very fair. And I think if I was a voting member in that official, unofficial poll that came out heading into Big Ten Conference Media Day, I think I'd have the Hoosiers at 3rd or 4th at this point.
Well, and what's interesting about that unofficial media poll is that's two writers from every team, you know, from every team in the Big Ten, a beat writer from every team. And so those are people who are really, who really follow this closely. And so I think, you know, their opinions are probably to be trusted more than just some of the, you know, some of the kind of more national magazines. And I agree, you know, I don't know if I was trying to be a little bit more conservative early in the season or just kind of having my guard up on Indiana and where they would finish in the Big Ten. But the more that I've looked at it and kind of taken a wider view of the conference, while it's really easy to hyper-focus on the questions that Indiana has, because there are a lot of questions on this roster in addition to some things that we feel like we know for sure, like how good Juwan will be in the town of Romeo and all of those things, you start looking out, and every team in the conference has a lot of questions. And I think when you really start comparing the question marks Indiana has and what the knowns are for Indiana and what the other teams in the conference have, you know, to me, I look at it, and I think Michigan State is the clear number one just because of the talent they have, the experience, the coaching, all of those things. It just feels like we know a little bit more about them than some of the other teams. But I don't really see, you know, anyone clearly being above Indiana outside of that. Now, I think there's a lot of really good teams. You know, it's going to be a really fun, competitive season. But, you know, it's Indiana has question marks, but the thing is, a lot of the other teams do too. And the two things that Indiana has that, you know, not a lot of other teams in the conference are going to be able to answer are Juwan and Romeo. You know, Juwan's experience and his history of production and Romeo's talent. And that combination is really, you know, I think that's going to power Indiana to a whole lot of wins in conference play. And if some of those other questions get answered, again, you know, now you're talking about a team that could compete for one of the top few spots in the conference.
I'm talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, this segment presented each week by Coffee Crossing. You mentioned this already in one of your other answers, but as we get closer to the season and as we look for those little nuggets, which I think is a great way to put it, that come out from Coach Miller or others associated with the program, when you get a few opportunities to hear or learn more about the team for this season, I think it's become clear that, obviously, Romeo, we know his stature and what he could do and is expected to do this season, but I think it's become clear that maybe Robert Phinisee is next in line. I know I kind of went back and forth for a while. Would Jerome Hunter be the next freshman that had a legitimate chance to contribute some major minutes or some ample time, or would it be Robert Phinisee? Those were the two that I've kind of battled with back and forth now for a couple months, but it sure seems like there's lots of positives out there, at least that we're hearing. Maybe the same exists for Jerome Hunter as well, but it sure seems like a lot of positives out there that we're hearing about Robert Phinisee and his opportunity maybe to get on the court more as a freshman than what some people expected.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's probably wise to not compare those two in terms of, you know, how their freshman year kind of progression will go, because I think Robert enters college in a little bit more of a mature spot in terms of his game and his familiarity with the position he's being asked to play than what Jerome does. You know, I mean, Robert he's been a point guard. He has so much experience as a point guard. And he's also, you know, competing with guys that haven't really secured their spot. So there's even a bigger opportunity for him to get playing time. A guy like Jerome, you know, we know the upside he has. I mean, just tremendous upside. Has not been playing basketball as long as Robert, you know, is kind of learning some different positions than maybe what he was used to at the high school level, because he's a guy who really transitioned from playing as a post and playing inside to becoming more of a wing player, because that's where he would project better at the college and the NBA level. So I think his learning curve is a little bit steeper. And that's why I think, you know, his season may go like Justin Smith's went last year, where you see some flashes early, but a lot of inconsistency. And then as he starts to get it, he becomes more of an impact player later. And so I think, you know, again, you know, and you heard it with Archie's comments about Robert Phinisee's, just his understanding of defense. You know, not a lot of guys come into college with the IQ and the mentality and the ability to really step in and be a solid defender. And if Rob Phinisee is ready to do that, we know how much Archie values that. I mean, that right there suggests he's going to be ready for playing time. So I think both of those guys will impact winning as freshmen, and I think Jerome has just an incredible ceiling for what he can be as a player. But just based on kind of the context of where they enter at school and the guys that they're competing with in terms of their position, there's a little bit of a difference there. But both guys just, you know, going to be great. Great players in Indiana, no question.
Jared, as we have Big Ten Media Day going on, as other conferences and having their media day, I know some teams having pro days and things like that to have NBA guys in. On the other hand, we've got the college basketball scandal trial unfolding in New York, and I try to update every day some of the crazy things that have come out during the testimonies on both sides in this case, and I don't know of another way to describe it beside it's absolutely unbelievable, some of the things that have come up and that have been mentioned. It's just a crazy time for college basketball, and it's going to be so wild to see where this sworn testimony, what the NCAA chooses to do with it. It's going to be really interesting.
It is. It's been amazing seeing the tweets come through and, you know, learning about how Butch McRae's mom got a house and a job and Ricky Rowe got a tractor and however much money they paid Neon Badeau. I mean, that's, you know, I'm joking, of course. Those are all blue chips references. But it's funny to me how much, like, you know, there was one comment about, I forget what player it was, but, you know, securing a house and a job. And I was like, isn't that how Western University got Butch McRae in the movie Blue Chips? You know, so it's funny how much that movie got right based on now what we're hearing. But it's crazy, and it's, you know, there's an absurdity to it, but, you know, it's at least it's all being laid out into the open, and now, like you said, we'll see what the NCAA will do, because apparently they're going to use these investigations as, you know, part of what they take into account for enforcement. So, you know, there's a lot of big name schools being mentioned, and let's also remember this is just one shoe company. So, you know, we're not really hearing the Nike side of it too much, the Under Armour side. So, you know, who knows how deep this goes? And, you know, you start pulling this thread here, how far will it go? But, you know, it's entertaining to watch, but, you know, it may not be so entertaining depending on what the collateral damage is, you know, to the game that we all love, college basketball. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Two other things real quick to follow up on that, and then I want to ask you something about IU football this weekend. We'll call it quits for this week. But two interesting things yesterday, that this TJ Gasnola guy that was an Adidas, I think he ran their New England club that was in the Adidas circuit, and obviously took on a much greater role in the Adidas grassroots basketball hierarchy. There were some text messages shown in the court, I think it was yesterday, that he text with Rick Pitino, or text up to other people. Actually, it was a wiretap. Excuse me, I'm getting all this stuff confused. A wiretap. And the conversation they played in the court, and I'm paraphrasing, between two or three people in the room or on the phone, whatever the situation was, is that, no, Rick Pitino did not know, according to this conversation, about the payment to Brian Bowen. And he has been so adamant about that. That has been something down here in far southern Indiana that has been a topic that still comes up Maybe he was right. Maybe he didn't know.
Well, maybe he didn't. I mean, you know, I suppose that is possible. I think it's hard for me to believe that, you know, a coach as much of a control freak as all coaches are, like Rick Pitino, wouldn't have known something. And again, I think in these situations, they try to make it so that the head coach especially has plausible deniability. And that is one thing coming out here. You know, maybe the head coaches don't know quite as much as we think they know. I think part of the problem with Pitino and his credibility is just the issues that he's had in the past. And it just becomes really, really hard to continue to believe as thing after thing after thing comes out that he wouldn't have any idea about it, but then still be able to, you know, be such a good college basketball coach with so many blind spots. So I think that's the hard part there. In this case, he might not have known about it, but people just seem less willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, either for, you know, realize, I guess, that he's been caught in the past, or just the perception that he's not always on the up and up.
And final thing on this college basketball scandal trial, an email from Gasnola, and I'm going to read Matt Norlander's tweet here, quote, an email of Gasnola's was shown that included Gasnola attending Midnight Madness when Tom Crean was the IU coach. Gasnola writing to Gatto, that's Jim Gatto, that he discussed the future of Adidas B-ball and that IU was receptive to their help. He wrote in the email, Tom, hug me. Gasnola put in that email. That's really interesting to see Indiana get a mention. I mean, again, Indiana Adidas team, not surprising that Adidas people might drop by for the Hoosier Hysteria or Midnight Madness, whatever it was called that year. And also no surprise that Tom Crean would hug somebody either. But that is interesting, Indiana, with a mention there, although it's, you know, doesn't seem to be anything.
Yeah, it's never comforting to, you know, to be mentioned in relation to something like this. But as you said, it would probably be foolish to think that, I mean, Adidas would be going to these great lengths with Kansas and with Louisville and that they wouldn't be interested in Indiana as well, which was one of their most high-profile, you know, teams that they work with. So, you know, that tweet in and of itself is too vague to really take anything from, and we'll have to see if that's a thread that gets pulled more as this case goes on. You know, just based on that, there's nothing really that you can go on. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Adidas was given a lot of help to, you know, to some of their bigger name schools. So I guess we'll just wait and see if there's anything concrete comes out about stuff that they may or may not have done for Indiana.
Jared, big IU football game this weekend. Big for this week and to get some momentum going into the Penn State game, but big for bowl eligibility and maybe taking a step past that 6-win total for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, well, and it's a big recruiting weekend, too. I think there's a lot of high-profile recruits that are going to be there, and obviously you always want to give those guys a good experience, you know, both in terms of a good fan atmosphere and just in terms of the team playing well. And it is, you know, it is a big opportunity. I mean, I know that the, you know, the Michigan State loss and the lackluster performance at Rutgers and the loss to Ohio State has kind of diminished some of the enthusiasm that was building from that really good start. But, you know, you win this game, you're at 5 victories. You know, it's kind of a marquee win over a team like Iowa that has typically been kind of above you in the Big Ten pecking order. So it's a really big opportunity for Indiana if they can get it. And so, will the running game be ready? You know, I think that's been the thing is offensively they've just been so imbalanced and you never quite know what's going to be clicking from one game to the next. But, you know, hopefully they come out ready to play. And I think keep it close early. You know, you don't want one of those games where you get down early and it kind of kills the atmosphere in Memorial Stadium, even if you come back later. You know, this is one of those games against a good team. Come out, you know, establish yourself at home and stay in control of the game. And if Indiana can do that, you know, Iowa isn't so much better that this isn't a game that they can't win, or even that I think it's fair to expect them to compete in and have a chance to win down the stretch in the fourth quarter.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget, when you're looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, Coffee Crossing's sister company, 410 Bakery and Cafe. They have great coffee, great bread, great pastries as well. Now serving breakfast and lunch at Harvest Homecoming this weekend. If you're in downtown New Albany, it would be a perfect chance to stop by 410 Bakery, especially with this fall weather we're experiencing, and have a cup of coffee. Jared, thanks so much. Covered a lot of ground today, as always. I always look forward to Fridays and the chance to catch up with you, and we'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend, Matt.
You too. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll wrap things up for this weekend. Don't forget high school football tonight, starting at 6 o'clock with our kickoff show. We've got New Albany, Floyd Central, Providence, Linton, Stockton. We'll have score updates and call-in reports constantly throughout the night from other games as well. 5-plus hours of local high school football coverage on Kentuckiana Football Fridays. To a break we go, back with Kyle Neddenrip after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back for our final segment on this Friday show, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star is my guest, and we'll cover some recruiting, a little high school football, and maybe more in this segment to wrap the week up here on the Hoosier Report. Kyle, we've talked some in this program about IU, Iowa football. It's a big one for Indiana as far as bowl eligibility and maybe even getting beyond the six wins that we think Indiana football may be able to get this year. They've also got some important games in addition to this week coming up. Penn State is at home following this week, and I mentioned that to you because those are big opportunities for recruiting, not just for football, but also for basketball players as well, and the chance to have an Iowa game with a lot of energy around it, or the chance to have Penn State come to town, being ranked, being a team that's always strong in the Big Ten, gives a football staff, gives the basketball staff as well, the opportunity to kind of showcase what life as a college student is like in Bloomington and what the IU campus is like. And a lot of times in the football season, you'll see on the basketball side, at least, a lot of young players get the opportunity to come by and visit with the coaches and see a football game and kind of get an early feel for things. But there's no doubt about it, even though it's right in the middle of football season and college basketball is still a few weeks away, recruiting at football games for some of these basketball programs is very important.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you see that a lot, especially, you know, it's sometimes harder during the season to get the basketball recruits down there for a game. Or anywhere for a game, because obviously they've got their own season going on, but they obviously will, you know, but you know, some of those TV games are later at night, or you're playing on weekends where, you know, your high school team's playing. So, you know, during football season is where a lot of times, you know, you're able to get, you know, get the younger kids on campus just to be there for a big game or a game. And you know, the better off the football team's doing, obviously the better the atmosphere is going to be. You know, not that that necessarily matters, but I think it does matter to a certain extent, just to kind of get the vibe on campus and, you know, people feeling good about, you know, being at a game. So I think it does matter. It does give them a chance to showcase the campus and you know, kind of give people an idea of what, you know, they'd be getting into if they do go to Bloomington, go to IU for college. So, yeah, big chances. And, you know, we see a lot of these kids who are, you know, going elsewhere. I know we had a couple of big ones around here. David Bell and Cole Brevard were out at Penn State for that game against Ohio State. And, you know, obviously that's kind of a different level of competition. But, you know, to get those kids in for a game like that is obviously big for a school like Penn State. And even though they lost that game, the atmosphere is incredible. And I think went a long way probably for both their recruitment. So, you want to showcase yourself as much as possible and show the good side of what you have to offer, especially for the kids who are a little bit younger.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Coming out of Big Ten Media Day on the basketball side yesterday, I wanted to ask you this. With all that you did in covering Romeo Langford, his high school seasons, his recruiting, some kind of, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff about him, what he was like as a kid, what he was as a fan, what the Langford family was as a family, with everything that you have been exposed to being around him and seeing the crowds and seeing the fanfare that surrounded everything and seeing the expectations as well as a high school basketball player in the state, are you surprised when you see the Big Ten name him as a preseason all-league player, even though he hasn't played a conference game yet. Are you surprised to hear his name come up by the national writers like it does? Does any of this surprise you, or did you kind of expect that this is how it would be, that there would be a lot of NBA talk and maybe being a lottery pick at this point? Is this surprising to you at all, some of the things that have went on before his first college basketball game?
Yes and no. I mean, not necessarily, because, you know, anytime you're a McDonald's All-American or a top player, you know, the spotlight is going to be on you, and even more so in Romeo's case because he's from Indiana, which, you know, he was chasing Damon Bailey's record. So all that stuff kind of, you know, made him even more high profile, you know, because of the state we're in from a national scale. People who don't know Romeo Langford's name don't follow it very closely, don't follow college basketball or basketball in general very closely. So, you know, from that aspect, you know, I don't think so. He's up there with, you know, the Zion Williamson types who, you know, you're already hearing the NBA with him as well. And you know, I remember doing kind of a story last year, a breakdown on how many of the top, you know, 10 guys in the rivals classes went to the NBA draft the next year. And it was a really high percentage of players who were, you know, basically one and done or whatever the rule was at the time. You know, they would leave as soon as possible to go to the NBA, whether it was the, you know, high school NBA or, you know, the one-year deal. But so it's probably in the likelihood that Romeo will be a one and done. So you kind of expect that kind of talk. Now, on the other side of it, I think, you know, it's hard for me to say, you know, a guy who's never played a game of college basketball should be on the preseason all Big Ten teams or whatever. I think it's up to the individual voter to maybe decide that and slot where he might be. But you're basically judging that off of nothing. That's, you know, nothing he's done at the college level so far. You know, so I can understand both sides of it. I think it's maybe sometimes, you know, putting a little bit too much on them to expect them to be an all-league player when they've never even played yet. But that kind of comes with the territory. That's the life he's known for a long time now. So I think he'll handle it fine. I just, you know, sometimes it is surprising to hear, you know, freshmen are on those teams or, you know, picked as whatever when they haven't done anything yet. So I think people need to be a little bit, you know, maybe, you know, scale back a little bit, just especially early in the season. Let him get his feet wet, understand there's going to be mistakes. He's a freshman like every other freshman, and just kind of understand that there will be somewhat of a learning curve, although that's the fun part of it, though, is seeing where he can take it in one basketball season. And I think he'll be a much better player, you know, once the Big Ten starts and we get into that part of it, than maybe he is early on in the season.
Kyle Nedrip with the Indianapolis Star. I guess you can follow Kyle's coverage of Indiana high school sports and recruiting at Kyle Nedrip on Twitter, and of course IndyStar.com/sports. We're in that unique part of the high school football season because we have, like tonight, New Albany Floyd Central is kind of the headline game in this area. That is a huge rivalry game. It's a conference game. It has a lot of implications go as far as the local football goes between the two schools. But everybody's already kind of buzzing and focused on the sectionals. It's a similar time. It happens in basketball as well. You know, you got a couple regular season games left, but you know the path in the state tournament, and it's kind of hard to for fans and others and even media, and I'm sure players too, to keep their thoughts away from the postseason. But anything stand out to you? Of course, you're covering Indianapolis area football for the most part, but anything stand out to you with the state pairings when they were released last Sunday?
Well, that's a good point. To mention too, I'm going out to do work on a different story kind of ahead of time tonight, just, you know, because I know people are kind of, you know, not that you overlooked this last game, but you know, it is, once the pairings come out, I think everybody's attention kind of turns to that a little bit, and understandably so. But yeah, I thought the pairings, there weren't a ton of, just because of the way it shakes out here, we kind of knew going in, you know, Warren Central is the class of the deal this year. And last year, Warren and Ben Davis, you know, they're in the same sectional this year, and they're actually playing each other in the first round this year. But clearly Warren is the better team of the two. There's a few things up here that you know, I kind of have my eye on that aren't necessarily directed at what the pairing shook out as, but what actually happens in the sectional. And you know, up here North Central, their turnaround story has been a really big deal. You know, this could be their first sectional title since 1993. You know, and I think they probably are the pick to win that sectional. You know, they'll have Pike, HSC, and Fishers in there with them, but they've beat all three of those teams this year. So their pairings aren't necessarily what matters, but how they end up faring in that sectional will be interesting, I think. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of huge matchups, I thought, right off the bat. There are some, but not anything where it's like, gosh, it's going to be a state championship type of game right off the beginning. And also, I think I kind of like what the IHSA did with the bye week next week for the bigger schools. I think that's a good thing. I think that's something that, you know, maybe allows some of these teams to rest slightly, you know, going in. Maybe you're maybe a little bit more fresh going into to the first round of the playoffs next week, not next week, the following week. You know, and there's a handful of 5A games, and most 5A teams will have off as well. So I kind of like how that turned out. I know some coaches would rather have it, you know, the bye week right before the state finals. But I think this way you get everybody a chance to get a break. And I know the small schools don't have that opportunity because of the amount of schools, but I think it ends up working out and also gives us as reporters a little bit more time to work ahead on stuff on some of the bigger schools as well. So that's a benefit too, because we're getting into some basketball stuff already as well.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, always great to catch up. Enjoy Friday night, week 9 of high school football. We'll talk with you again next Friday.
All right, Matt. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kyle. That will wrap up things for this week on the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, I'm back tonight at 6 o'clock for 5-plus hours of high school football coverage. New Albany, Floyd Central, Providence, Linton, Stockton, and more. Join us at 6. We'll get you ready for all the games. Have a great weekend as well on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.